For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but the day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
All right, so a few texts to get to this morning. Chad and Texarkana, in terms of the toppings, suggest chicken bacon ranch. Not just good on a sandwich, but yes, very good on a pizza too. Quentin in Clarksville says, if we had DeLuca's in Hot Springs. Yes, Quentin, I've had it one time.
We had that together, didn't we?
We did. Yes.
And you and Scott?
I let you get the bill. That was very kind of me to do so.
Alligator arms. Yeah,
it's like that's what Noah also
can't reach for my wallet.
Enjoys, it's just courtesy of an employee to let the employer get the bill.
Yeah, well, thank you for being so courteous.
Yeah,
my kids have that same courtesy all the time.
Yeah, Andy in Benville enjoys Tim's Pizza in Northwest Arkansas.
I have not been to Tim's. It's on the square, right, in Fayetteville?
You got one on the square and then one's at is it Mission and Cross? It's kind of off the beaten path a little bit. There's one on the square,
right,
and then there's one kind of off the beaten path.
Okay, I don't think it's Mission and Crossover, but I've heard it's very good.
Yes, it is good.
My brother has a good friend whose family's connected to that.
Okay,
I need to try it.
You've had Nima's in Gasville. That's what in Clarksville suggests.
They have these world championships. I've tried it. It's good. You hear world class and all that. I mean, I guess I've had so much pizza, but it is very good.
Jerry in Fort
Smith. I don't want to say it's the best pizza I've ever had, but it's very good.
Now, you were, and Craig in Fort Smith also cites Nima's as well. Jerry in Fort Smith says Pizzeria Ruby. That is in Northwest Arkansas, right by the Inn at the Mill.
Yeah, when I stay at the Inn at the Mill, I need to walk. I mean, you can literally walk over.
Mm-hmm.
And I've driven by it a few times and stumbled upon it. There was like a line out the door just to get in the place. To that kind of new shopping center, but it's kind of around the corner. Mm-hmm. I need to, I guess, just wait my turn and get in there.
CC,
or maybe I'll tell them I'm Ty Richardson. They'll move me to the front of the line. I don't know.
It could happen. They have good pasta too. CC and Fayetteville said Tim's East is on Mission, so it's not Mission and Crossover. Okay. It's just on Mission. I knew I had one of those street names right. Again, I'm not good with street names. I'm good with landmarks, and I remember that it was somewhere over there.
You're one of these people that couldn't find your butt with two hands without MapQuest, right? Google, without the Maps app on your phone.
Google Maps and Waze, baby. I will say I don't need Google Maps or ways to go to Nashville because it's all interstate, which is nice.
Are you one of these like me that even though you know exactly where you're going, you're still going to put it in there to see if you can beat the time?
Yeah, I always would.
I can trim 20 minutes off that 8-hour drive.
And not just to beat the time, but occasionally, I mean, the worst, and I think all of our listeners can agree with this, the worst driving of any point of your trip is the time between Little Rock and Memphis. There is no worse drive in the United States of America outside of maybe Houston, which has the worst traffic in the world, than Little Rock to Memphis or Memphis to Little Rock. It's awful. And so occasionally, because of wrecks, because of traffic stoppages, Waze will redirect me to, and I don't know what's the perpendicular.
Probably 64 would be most of it.
And occasionally it takes me there, and I will then occasionally stalk at Craig's in Duval's Bluff, or I still Craig's haven't been good. To Jones's in Mariana.
I have not yet. Been there either.
That is one of the more famous restaurants in all of Arkansas, but that's why I use. And like you said, to beat the time, I make
Let's
it.
See, there's Craig's in Duval's Bluff, then there's Nick's in Carlisle. Now, that's correct. Kind of just outside of Little Rock. Mm-hmm. Been to both of those. I've not done Jones's either.
I've been to both those, but I haven't been to Jones's. I always there. They close like at 1 or 1:30, and yeah. I usually don't get out of here till 9:30 or so. So it's hard to get there in time. We're still getting texts, Tommy. Justin Nell, have you had Daddy T's?
Nope.
In Glenwood.
Glenwood, no. In Glenwood, I mean, I don't eat pizza often in Glenwood, but they got that pizza inn that's in the gas station there. You can get Baskin Robbins and Pizza Inn in one spot. That's a pretty good gas station.
Harry Dog in Fayetteville likes dang good pies or damn good pies
but
up
Daddy
there.
Daddy T's, some we should try.
Yeah. The Rail in downtown Rogers from J&K Springs is good. Their pizza and their wings are really, really good. Jason Lowell also agrees. Hog Collar says the worst drive is through Kansas or Nebraska.
Yeah, but you're not going to get held up with traffic, I don't think, in Kansas or Nebraska.
There's just nothing there. Like
you can see Kansas and Nebraska from your drive.
When you make the trek up to Omaha, that
see
drive.
See the wind.
Mm-hmm. That's the, that is, it is just, there's nothing on that drive when you go to Omaha, Nebraska, or you're staying in Cedar Rapids or
You weren't commenting from Little Rock to Memphis on the scenery. You were commenting on the
traffic.
Congestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just always seems to be that way. Well, there's plenty of congestion right now in the National Football League with the amount of, again, moves that have been made. It is hard, as we were talking about before the show, it's really hard to keep track of all these guys. So Russell Wilson, probably one of the more prominent quarterbacks, going to the Steelers. You also have Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons. We'll ask Tom Murphy about that in about 2 hours or so. He signs for $180 million, $90 million guaranteed. You had Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle for the Dolphins, go to the Raiders. Big C, what do you think about Pollard going to the Titans? Is that a big loss for you guys? There's Aaron Jones and some other guys out there. I'm curious where...
I was a little surprised. I think it was time for a change. I mean, he's an explosive back, but he doesn't really get you the tough yards, or, you know, he's not the most reliable running back, and you need kind of a proven guy, a workhorse that can get you yards in the playoffs. Pollard just kind of he's either hurt or he just kind of disappears.
What do you think about Derrick Henry?
Man.
To the Dallas Cowboys.
I'd be a fool not to want Derrick Henry, but I mean,
how many years is he in the league now? It seems like it's just yesterday he was at Alabama, but it's been more years than you think.
I mean, he won the Heisman Trophy.
It's gotta be 5 or 6 now, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he won the Heisman Trophy in like, I got the Alabama running backs run together.
Yeah, I mean, but you think it was, you know, he was just at Alabama a few years ago, and you look up and like, that's. I bet if we look it up 6 or 7 years
now.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think I believe it was 2015 maybe.
Yeah, maybe longer than that.
The Heisman Trophy. Other news, Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay Packers. Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, which was a pretty... Yeah. And then our own Brandon Allen re-signs with the 49ers.
Good for him.
Along with... What I thought was interesting, I think they re-signed Sam Darnold too. So they re-signed both of their backup quarterbacks.
Do you know how many years Brandon got on his deal?
I think it's just a one-year deal.
One-year deal?
Yeah, I believe it's just a one-year deal.
Man.
But you think about him, so he get so 2015 is his senior season at Arkansas and gets drafted in 2016. I can't remember. Where did he get drafted to again?
Wasn't it the Bengals?
That sounds right. And then he just has continuously stayed. I don't know. Has he made it to a point where he's going to get that pension?
Should, yeah, because okay. I think he's had what's 3 years plus 3 seasons, and you got to be active in 6 games in a season, so it's basically 21 games over the course of 4 years, and
okay.
I think he's more than eclipsed that. So yeah, he's gonna have that. He's met that milestone.
Billy
for
said,
later in life.
Maybe I misread. Billy said that Darnold signed with the Vikings, so maybe they only. Maybe I thought I saw 49ers, Billy, but I could be wrong about that. So maybe they just signed Brandon
Vikings
as their
need a quarterback.
Yeah, as their backup with Kirk Cousins going down south to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, on the subject of the National Football League, I did find these comments interesting from Tiki Barber on his radio show in New York. And I want to parallel this to Arkansas. So you've got Saquon Barkley, who was drafted by the Giants, re-signed with the Giants, and now is elected to play a couple years in Philadelphia, 3 years, I think $39 million. Listen to one of the better running backs in Giants history and his comments about Barkley going to the Eagles, an interdivision rival.
And Saquon has already taken to Twitter himself to say thank you to everyone who's shown me love and support over the past 6 years. Forever grateful. Excited for the next chapter. Blue heart emoji. Peace.
Okay, right. Blue heart emoji.
Dead to us now.
Yeah, say it.
He's dead to us.
Because he won't say it.
You're dead to us, Saquon. Good luck. You're dead to me.
So, again, pretty harsh comments, but honest comments from Tiki Barber, the New York Giants legend. Here were my thoughts on this. We're going to pull this back to Fayetteville. We're going to pull this back home. We've seen transfers happen. We've seen guys hit the portal. Now, Rocket Sanders has gone to an SEC team, but they're not on your schedule, right? Chris Paul stings to me a little bit more because Ole Miss is coming into your house this year. You're having to play Ole Miss. KJ going to UCF, not on the schedule or anything. I get a sense, and maybe I'm wrong about this, the bandwagon I'm on with you as a fan is that you think more like Tiki than you are cheering for that former Razorback to have success at another institution. Well,
unless that kid's from my hometown or my home state, why would I cheer for someone that's turned their back on my school? I mean, I have no reason. I have no motivation. That's how I feel about it as a fan. I could care less. If KJ throws for a yard or 10,000 yards, I could care less.
You don't care about him anymore? Even?
I don't know. I won't go as far as he's dead to me, but, you know, that's a little harsh. But
yeah,
I will not go out of my way to watch UCF because he's there.
And that's the professional versus collegiate. You're not going to, again, go to the full links like Tiki.
But we're going to get there because of the money now with NIL.
Yes.
And particularly once it becomes public, how much these guys are really making.
And what I also thought about is like high school kids within the state that went to other SEC schools, and I think predominantly basketball with Kayvon Allen, Malik Monk, and Archie Goodwin, who went to SEC schools and you had to play. It seemed like Kayvon killed you every single year. He's a really good college basketball player, especially against the Arkansas Razorbacks. I think it's easier for me to cheer for a kid when he doesn't go to an SEC institution and he's in state. I have no problem like being gung-ho about this guy having success, but it's very hard for me to get on board, as you were saying, with not just a guy that comes to Arkansas and then transfers out, but an in-state kid that goes to an SEC school that you have to play. If you go somewhere else that Arkansas's not playing, then I wish you all the best. And I guess
but I'm not going to go cheer for them. Are you going to go cheer for KJ? No, I'm not. I mean, you might, but I'm not.
I think in...
Why? Tell me why I would do that.
Oh, it's your own right.
But tell me why you would do that. Let me rephrase. Let me redirect, Your Honor. Why would you cheer for KJ? What good does that do you or your school?
Here's what I would say. So when we look at coaches, right, who have left Arkansas for other schools, okay. And I think that two come to mind for me. I think about Ken Hatfield, and I think about Eddie Sutton. I don't think there's a lot of ill will and hard feelings towards those two guys. Now, the Kentucky comments for the late Coach Sutton aren't great.
I think the better example would be Houston Nutt.
Maybe, okay. Who resigned. Who
left, or quitted, whatever happened there. Golden handcuffs. And then goes next day to Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. And again, at that point, you weren't going to cheer for him. But now you like to see him on TV. He's not competing against you.
It took a long time for that bridge to be rebuilt.
Yes, but I think with, again, the two coaches that I mentioned, you didn't play Clemson, right?
Clemson, but, you know, the sentiment in 90 or whatever that year that was that Broyles ran off Hatfield.
Yes, correct.
I mean, I think that was a February departure.
Because
I remember right, it was a really odd time.
I'm not even a thought in my parents' mind because he wouldn't fire his assistant coaches or he wouldn't change staffs.
Broyles wanted staff changes. Hatfield wouldn't do it. He left to go to Clemson.
And Coach Sutton wanted, like when he said...
Which was a huge moment when you look back in the history of Razorback sports.
Should we Yes, it ended up being very significant.
You hired Jack Crow, and then it, you know, the whole world changed.
It transitioned. So why do we, I guess the question I'm coming to is, do we hold players and coaches to different standards when they leave Arkansas?
Yes.
Is that fair to do?
I think it's changing, though, because players never, I mean, first of all, players used to come to your school and they'd play 3 or 4 years and they would hopefully go pro. Now it's, you know, a different world, obviously, in the last 5 years. But coaches, you know, are adults. They're professional. I think we're having to mend and adapt the way we view players compared to the way we did it 10, 20 years ago.
I see it more as a transactional thing. Like, if a good player leaves, let's get a new one in. Like, it hurts, but you can't really...
Yeah, you
can't focus on it. You just have to...
If Poupal leaves, he's not your only linebacker. Now, maybe last year, because seemingly all left, but you get my point. There's a depth chart in a sport. When a head coach leaves, there is no backup head coach, and, you know, there's no other head coach. There is another left tackle, you know. May not be as good as the one that left, but there is another one. So, you know, it's a regime change when a coach leaves. It's a whole different level of importance.
Okay. Let's talk to Jimmy in Conway about this. He's on the McLarty Daniel hotline. Jimmy, welcome into this conversation.
Top of the morning to you, fellas. Hey, I'm going to take this just a little bit different twist on this. Players leaving, going somewhere else. I'm going to tell you about a player that came from Perryville, Arkansas. Small town, not much there. Wanted to be a Hog. Grew up watching the Hogs and was told by the Hogs, you're not good enough for the SEC. Well, Keith Carter went to Mississippi and killed the Hogs. Every year he was there, he was a thorn in our side, and he was a very good player for them. And now he's their athletic director.
Yeah, see.
And he's still a thorn in our side because he's over there making things happen. All because they thought he wasn't good enough. Well, sometimes this comes back to bite you for years and years, not just the 4 years that they're at the school.
Is that the rule or is that the exception to the rule?
That's not the rule, no.
Yeah.
No. But okay. He's a heck of a player, and it would have been good for us, but didn't work out. We can't get them all. It's not going to happen. But when that young man left and I knew he wanted to be a Hog, I kind of cheered for him. I wanted him to do well.
Do you cheer for Eli Drinkwitz? On that,
I do.
Whoa,
you do? Oh, you do not. Okay,
yeah, I do not.
I was waiting.
Do you want to be a Hog? Did Eli want to be a Hog?
He probably wants to be a Hog. Who wouldn't if you lived in Missouri? Come on, man. I mean,
at some
point, have a great day,
guys. Hey, Jimmy, that's it, and that's it.
Both good points. Good point by Jimmy, but better point maybe by you. So do you root for Eli? Yeah. Hell no.
No, not that he's kicking your tail. But I just thought that was it. I thought those comments were interesting from Tiki Barber. I think, again, the lines are becoming more and more blurred between the National Football League and college football and really the professional and collegiate perspectives anywhere else in any sports because of the money aspect. I don't think that it's ever going to be acceptable for college people to be like, yeah, he's dead to me when it comes to a college kid. But because of the money aspect that ties in, I thought that was an intriguing comment that we could bring in here to Fayetteville. All right, it is that time of the morning here on a Tuesday. That means CJ's Trivia Tuesday.
This is CJ's Trivia Tuesday, presented by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers in Fayetteville and Russellville.
It's delicious.
There must be 50 customers out there. It's unbelievable.
When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
Wouldn't mind a bacon cheeseburger pizza, Tommy, with the fry sauce as the topping, as the base. I think that would be something that I can talk to Keith about, maybe corking up and making one of those someday.
Maybe just put a few French fries on top?
Yes, yeah. Just do the whole thing. All right, here is your CJ's Butcher Boy Burger Trivia Tuesday. Duke has some of the dirtiest basketball players in college history, and I actually defended them a couple weeks ago, Kyle Filipowski, and it turns out he was faking it the whole time. Guy played the next game after him and John Shire, former Duke player, now Duke coach, were just talking about, I don't know how severe the injury is, blah, blah, blah. And they just played it like a soap opera. You think about some of the guys that, and by the way, Filipowski tripped a North Carolina player, Harrison Ingram, this past Saturday. Just a dirty player. Grayson Allen, you think about Gerald Henderson, who broke Tyler Hansbrough's nose years ago. Christian Laettner, maybe the most hated Duke player in the history of their program. So I was thinking about all these Duke guys. In 1994, here's your question. You got to call in. Again, 877-377-6963. He is not as notable as some of those other guys I just listed, but who was Duke's center on the 1994 national championship team that you beat in Charlotte, North Carolina? Again, 877-377-6963. The Duke center that Corliss and the rest of the guys clown the majority of that game in the NCAA tournament national championship. And they've had he wasn't as notable as some of the other guys. And I know Billis is the one that is the one that's on display.
So the answer is not Christian Laettner.
No, it's not Christian Laettner. Oh, that's who you lost to in the 1990 Final Four in Denver. Did you remember that game? Could you tell me what happened during that 1990 game? Because Arkansas
the 1990 game?
Yeah, the
Final Four. I watched it. Could I remember every detail? No.
It's not as big of a deal. But, you could probably remember.
It was the national semifinal. It was not the championship game.
Final Four.
It was the first game of the day. I do remember that. And I watched it at my then-girlfriend's house as my parents went to a watch party. So I watched it with her and her family.
Okay. I did.
Man, we got some calls.
Yeah, that lit up real quick. All right, Big C, who we got? Who we got on line one?
See if we can find us an answer.
Alan and Alma.
All right, Alan is in Alma this morning on the McCarty-Daniel hotline. Alan, who is the Duke center 1994 that Arkansas beat for the national championship?
Was it Cherokee Park?
That is correct, Alan. Congratulations. You just won yourself a $25 CJ's Butcher Boy Burger gift card. Make sure you get your name. I guess we have your name, but get your number to Christian and your address, and we will get that over to you. Yeah.
Put him on hold.
So, again, Alan, that is correct. We got a lot of callers that immediately
hung up.
Yeah, that as soon as they heard that at this point. But Duke is known for, it's so frustrating to watch their players because I feel like they have a guy like this every single year. And I remember talking about Filipowski before the game where you really shut him out in the first half when you played him in Bud Walton earlier this season.
He had a much better second half, though.
He was really good in that second half. But he's just one of the latest additions of the dirty players that have come through that basketball program.
Duke always has that player you can't stand. He's easy to hate. Filipowski may be that guy this year. Yeah.
J.J. Redick is another one. There's been plenty of them the last 20, 30 years. Bobby Hurley was another guy that drove people nuts in just terms of irritation.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more details. That's ArlingtonHotel.com.
Call or text the McClarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McClarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McClarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McClarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McClarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our 6 locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So the SEC awards come out pretty chalky from what we thought. Don Kanek wins the player of the year. Lamont Paris wins coach of the year. Yeah. Reed Shepard wins freshman of the year. Ziegler wins defensive player of the year. And then Dillingham wins sixth man of the year. Not really. When I saw this list, I was like, okay, that was what we thought. That was what, I mean, there weren't really any surprises on this, I felt like.
No, they did go with the chalk. That's the way it should have gone. Hey, Sean East was the scholar athlete of the year from Missouri. So when you wear the donut, you get the scholar athlete award.
Outside of him, Missouri not really represented anywhere else. He could have been one of the more improved players of the year based on his points per game last year to this year. But those are the overall players. First team was Mark Sears, Shaddai Broom, the Poland kid from Florida, Antonio Reeves from Kentucky, Dalton Kanek, Ziegler both from Tennessee, Tolu Smith, and then Wade Taylor from Texas A&M. So you got several guys for a five-team squad. That's whatever. But again, this weekend, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Hopefully, knock on wood, it's more me.
I mean, we obviously with and I think it would make for the best game. But current company considered Tennessee versus who in the championship game? Who would Kentucky. What would make the most entertaining
Kentucky
2.5
That'd
hour
be the rubber
ride.
Match.
I think so.
That's the one. I don't even know if Tennessee
I don't trust
will get
Bama
there.
In there, and I don't think Auburn could hold up with either side.
No,
and I need to, you know, Hogs aren't in. I haven't really studied the bracket, you know, since I don't expect them to be around.
I feel like you always do when Arkansas is good. It's like I don't really win a game and get out of there. Let's go try to get
particularly
to
in baseball.
Do you want to win this week though for the number one seed with North Carolina kind of coming up the rear and that win that they have head to head?
This is how I'm looking at it. We're either going to be number one with Carolina as the five, as the two, or we're going to be two with Carolina as the one.
Okay.
So in my mind, if you make it that far, you're going to play them anyway. But 116 is a lot easier than 215. As you progress, the one seed is what you want to be. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think the problem is, when you lose to Kentucky, and then they go back and look at the North Carolina beat y'all. So that unless they lose in the ACC tournament, they're probably at number one.
See, Ty, I just think a lot of that heavy lifting's been done. I don't think Tennessee could be knocked down to anything other than maybe the number two overall seed.
Yeah,
I mean, it'd be a one seed, but be the number. It's kind of like, you know, a semester of work, you know. One quiz at the end for 10 points isn't going to change the grade in all likelihood. So I don't think one game for Tennessee, even if they went and whoever they end up playing in their first game, if they lost narrowly, I don't think it's taking them off the one line.
Probably put them in Memphis that first and second week, or the first weekend.
I think a lot of that's been
done. I don't want them in Memphis because then I'm going to spend more money that I don't need to spend.
Just going there.
I've already been to three road games this year. It's just I need to chill.
And you said you wouldn't go until they made a Final Four potentially in Arizona, right?
I've already lied. I'm going to Nashville. So.
Okay, yeah, that's why I wasn't going to bring that up, but I just
surely there's a bait and tackle store you can call on over there. So.
They got a thing called Bass Pro Shop over there.
Yeah. There's a little work. Somehow I made it to making it to Nashville for work.
Hey, you could ride with Ty.
Yeah.
I'll pick up the tab on that gas.
Okay.
get you some Little Rock to Memphis.
It's not too bad of a drive. So Tennessee's going to be on top as we
He'll
get,
let you control the phone, the music
the
on the phone.
Yeah, we can just listen to Ruskin and Zach
the
later
aux
on.
Cord.
All right, let's get into our Pradco Pyramid of Power this morning.
Who are the best basketball teams in the SEC?
SEC!
Let's find out.
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
This is the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
It is kind of like getting to the end of that semester. Like I said, one little quiz isn't going to change a lot. When you look at the standings and where they're at and kind of where the Pradco Pyramid of Power is, not a lot of movement. You can almost take the C line. Tennessee's at the top of the Pradco Pyramid of Power. How do you argue that? They wrapped it up middle of the week last week. They're the number one seed in the SEC tournament. They got the best player not only in the country or in the conference, but maybe in the country with Dalton Knecht. He's 12th nationally in scoring at 21.4 points per game. Tennessee, I don't think there's even a discussion, is at the top of the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
There isn't. Can you imagine this time last year, Dalton Knecht was getting ready to play in the Big Sky tournament for Northern Colorado?
Talk about diamonds in the rough.
Wow.
That is one. Where would Tennessee season be without him if he'd chosen anywhere else?
Arkansas.
We probably, well, I mean, Tennessee was a top 10 team until Ziegler got hurt last year. Made the Sweet 16. I'd say that they'd still be decent, but not SEC champs.
Probably by not. Any means. I got Kentucky number two, 23 and 8 on the year, 13 and 5. Antonio Reeves averaged just over 20 points per game. They've proven it. We talked a minute ago about what would be the ultimate SEC tournament championship matchup. Tennessee, Kentucky would be a great. I hope they both want to get there. I don't know how much either has to play for, particularly Tennessee, but that would probably be the most entertaining TV we could see on Sunday.
Well, I told my son Cole, Tennessee didn't have anything to play for in Knoxville. Just you could tell the intensity wasn't there till right at the end when they made that push. But Kentucky's won five straight. They're starting to gel. Those freshmen, Shepherd and Dillingham, are looking awesome. Kentucky's flaw, they don't have a dominant big man that can score. And that'll probably catch them at some point, like it has throughout the course of the year. They did lose five games, but they're coming in hot, five in a row.
Alabama and Auburn split in the regular season. Both end up with 13-5 records, the same as Kentucky, by the way, in the SEC standings. I went with Alabama in the three spot. I just think they're scoring a million points a game, and they're just tough. I like Alabama and Mark Sears, so I went with Alabama at three and Auburn at four.
See, I had that same question. Tigers have the best SEC record, the best record in the SEC at home, 15-1. They've won three in a row. Alabama lost two out of three. Should have lost to Arkansas down the stretch. I think Auburn's playing better. I had them number three.
All right, so we flip-flop 3 and 4. This was the one I contemplate a little more. South Carolina and Florida at 5 and 6. I don't have anyone else you can really move up there. Maybe A&M at this point is your next team in just because of some of the wins they've had this year. I went with South Carolina at 5 and Florida at 6. Conference record at 13-5. They're technically, I guess, tied for second in the conference. Meechie Johnson was their leading scorer at 14.5. Carolina at 5, Florida at 6 with an 11-7 conference record for the Gators.
Yeah, I mean, I had Carolina at 5. I actually considered them a little higher. They were 25-6. They obviously got the coach of the year in Lamont Paris. They did lose to Tennessee midweek, but responded by going down to Starkville and winning there. But, you know, Mississippi State lost four straight at the end of the year, probably played themselves out of the tournament.
So you look at it, Tennessee at 14-4, then Kentucky, Bama, Auburn, South Carolina, all 13-5. Florida, I think, is playing as well as some of those teams at times. They're 11-7.
And then they lose to Vanderbilt. Who loses to Vanderbilt?
That's a great question. But hey,
both of you.
What did we say before the season, though? It would probably take 13 or 14 wins to win the SEC, and sure enough, Tennessee, 14 wins.
I lay all that out to just ask this question. Are we in maybe for the best SEC tournament we've had in a while as far as with all that parity? With all these teams, with I think a lot of teams from Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, Florida, still something to play for, to prove maybe to the committee, and I'm talking out both sides of my mouth. I think Tennessee has proved it. I think maybe if one of those teams get to the championship game and win it, maybe they move up a seed line or two with an SEC tournament championship. Are we in for maybe the best SEC basketball tournament we've had in some time?
I mean, you could. This is my fear because we all hate Kentucky together. They're going to put on a run and win the SEC tournament, where I think. And I think they're going to go up to a two on the seed line.
So, of the teams not in the Pradco Pyramid of Power, A&M, LSU, who else would we want to throw in? Who is the most likely team out of the rest of the league to make the semifinals?
A&M's done it like the last 2 years in the tournament. They've proven and Buzz has proven with a poor team or a team that doesn't perform in the regular season, he knows how to win four games in a row, and they could do it. They've beaten Tennessee and Kentucky. Couldn't beat Arkansas. Got swept by Arkansas, but they got Wade Taylor. He can score 40 any night.
All right, so who's in the championship game on Sunday?
South Carolina, Kentucky.
Wow. I did not expect you to say that. Yeah. You just don't think the intensity is going to be there from Tennessee?
I don't think it's
going to
be there.
Even with the chance to lock up a one seed?
No, we just do better when I pick against them.
Okay. Is Nashville in your own backyard? Do you, I guess you count Nashville. I mean, it's got to be a pro-Tennessee crowd, right?
Yes, yeah, it's a lot like Barnhill South Reunion Arena used to be. Those Kentucky fans, they find out how to get tickets.
Yeah.
That place turns blue by the semifinals and finals.
Won't Tennessee keep that from completely happening?
Kentucky fans, they know how to get. It's like Arkansas going to Reunion Arena. You know,
I understand, but
it's the strangest thing. Like, Tommy, I'm telling you this.
Oh, I've seen it. I've been there.
What's so aggravating? I had a bartender tell me this is. Their management, a lot of those bars on Broadway, their management will make them wear Kentucky stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the week. Oh, and yeah. that irked me in the worst of ways when I heard that.
Turn them over to the labor board.
Yeah, seriously. Like, why would you?
Cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah.
So that's, again, even though they're both about three, I mean, Knox is 3 hours from Nashville, Lexington's 3 hours from Nashville. They're equal in distance. You would just think Tennessee would have that being in state, but it's not that way.
Yeah, but I mean, just think about it. If you live in rural Kentucky, going to Nashville is a big deal. You get to get out of Kentucky and
good point.
Go spend your money and, you know, go to a nice place for once, you know.
Stop by Sam's, you know, all that stuff.
Stop by Sam's. The Sam's in, I don't know if there's another one. When I lived there, the Sam's closed down next to me. So I don't even know if they have a Sam's in Nashville anymore. At least the one by my house closed down.
I bet
down.
They do.
Might be another one.
I bet you they've got more than one.
There's probably that place is grown. It's about as crazy. It's like Nashville, Northwest Arkansas, and Denver are three of like the top five, top 10 fastest growing areas in the country. It's crazy how much NWA is growing at the pace that we're at right now.
It's only going to get faster as the Walmart campus nears completion.
I saw that. I saw a video of that, Tommy. That looks about as crazy as it gets.
All you got to do is drive up the road a few minutes and get off on one of the Bentonville exits and head west a little bit and you'll run into it.
Do we have ESPN Arkansas campus plans?
Well, I don't know that we got anything planned quite like that. They've got. Yeah. With a B, billions invested. So, all right, that's the Pradco Pyramid of Power. Everything right on there this week?
Yeah, Tennessee's number one.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's where we're at this week. And we'll follow this through the tournament. I want to get a week or two of baseball under our belt in conference. But I hadn't paid any attention to many other teams in the SEC in baseball to this point. And we start conference play this weekend. We'll get a little better sense of
who's
what.
Rip off the top 10 and throw out the four non-conference schools, and there's six SEC schools there.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be the place to start, right? Yeah. LSU and Arkansas 1, LSU 2.
The thing that always bugs me about baseball, there's 15 top 20 polls. How can a sport that has as few eyeballs on it as college baseball have that many polls?
Follow the D1 baseball one. That's probably the way to go.
I think there's a few, but yeah, and I think it is confusing. I think they do need to consolidate, and maybe someone does. I don't follow it close enough. Averages all those polls out. I don't know what you do. I'm not the one to answer the question, but it is a little bit confusing and frustrating.
I know I don't like the RPI. I was looking at all the polls because I was thinking you might want to do a baseball, and I was like, Tennessee wasn't in the RPI, like not even in it because the schedule's been so weak, but there's six in the other polls. So I'm like, well, let's not use the RPI.
Did you hear Dave's comments a week or so, maybe it's 2 or 3 weeks ago at the Swatters Club, that two teams in orange are going to come into Fayetteville next year? Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear about that.
So it sounds like, I mean, he was like, this may or may, he said something to the extent of, this may or may not happen, but there's supposedly two orange teams.
They're not playing them this year, so it makes sense.
That'll be a fun, that was a fun series a couple years ago. And it should
be not that they need help boosting attendance, but that would kind of ensure a packed crowd.
No question.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So the Arkansas Razorbacks will take on Vanderbilt tomorrow night with the opportunity to play South Carolina 2:45-3 on Thursday, depending on how the first game shakes out before. And how this is going to play out is not just contingent on Arkansas winning the first game, but the depth that they could foreseeably have to go to. Here was Musk when asked about that question, using that depth the more you advance in the SEC tournament.
The further you advance, depth can become more of a factor. And certainly guys like Layden Blocker, I mean, Layden has practiced really hard and staying ready to play. And that's what you need to do. You know, if you're not getting the reps in a game, you know, it's important to stay mentally focused and get the reps and work on your cardiovascular. And I do think we have some guys that first one in the building, those guys that are doing that type of stuff, they're staying ready to play. And like I said, any team that's fortunate enough to advance, rotations can alter with each extra game that you have to play.
So that is, again, the thought. He kind of started the thing. It's like, we're only focused on Vanderbilt. And he did the classic coach response. And then he went into the explanation at this point. I mentioned this yesterday. So we hadn't seen Keon Minfield. We hadn't seen Jalen Graham, who Chuck basically confirmed yesterday is good to play. And we hadn't seen Layden Blocker. Layden Blocker apparently is practicing still pretty hard. If they are going to make, and I'm just talking about a run to Friday, I'm not talking about a run to Sunday, but even a run to Friday, you're probably going to have to play some guys that you haven't played the last 4 or 5 games.
All right, to end up at 500, you got to win 2 to get to 17-16, because you're, unless you win the whole thing, you're going to lose your last one, obviously. So you'd have to win Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then maybe you fall Saturday to get to a game above 500. If, you know, and I know for Mus, I would think he takes a lot of personal pride in not letting that streak in his career end. But, you know, these are also the kind of things and the results that can fuel you for the future. But, you know, if that matters to you or that's something you're playing for, that's what's got to happen to be at or above 500.
Yeah, and in order to beat Vanderbilt, you're going to have to play a lot better than what you did last time. And part of the reason you lost this past game, it's given up a lot of offensive rebounds, which the Commodores had some success against Florida this weekend. Here was Musk talking about that.
Florida's one of the biggest teams in the SEC. And you look at the offensive rebounding numbers in Vanderbilt's last game, that's a lot of offensive rebounds they got as a team against what I consider as good a rebounding team, you know, maybe in our league. So, but Lubin, he did a great job reacting to rebounds. If Manjon and Lawrence get into the teeth of the defense and are able to give dump-off passes and your bigs help, certainly that creates issues. We've got to have better smashes, was what we call it, on the weak side.
They did not do a great job stopping the penetration last time from Vanderbilt, and that led to a lot of easy buckets from Lubin or offensive rebounds that he was able to clean up in that game. Last year, I'm forgetting the kid in Nashville that torched, he had a really big second half. Chuck said it earlier yesterday, and I'm forgetting his name, but Lubin's the guy that you have to worry about on the glass, and hopefully they're able to do that tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN Arkansas and, of course, on the SEC Network. Got some confirmation from ESPN and SEC Network. I was reading this from Whole Hog Sports that the spring game, Tommy, is going to be on streaming on April the 13th. So it's not going to be on any cable package, but you can stream it on ESPN Plus and the SEC Network.
Yeah, that'll be the day for the spring game. We've known that. I know they're going to have a memorial service for Dean Weber as part of the weekend with all the Letterman coming in. It's always almost a homecoming weekend for Letterman every year, and they have a big dinner on that Friday night. So this one's going to be a little bit different, I think, because of Dean's passing. Then I think you'll see a good contingent of those guys and hopefully a good crowd. I think people are, as we'll see how the storylines unfold over the next month about the offense and Bobby Petrino and what's happening there. I think maybe you'll have I'm not saying 30,000, but maybe you'll have a little bit noticeably larger crowd in person than you've had the last few years for spring games.
Last thing here in your Hog update, Arkansas baseball, according to D1, is the number one team in the country. Poll just came out yesterday. I think it was like 6 or 7 of the polls you were ranked number one. We were mentioned, I think there's 8 total polls. We were joking with Bruce about that, the number of baseball polls that you have to keep track of. I would use the one that NCAA uses, which is D1, which has your team as number one. I'm on the bandwagon. of having the number one seed heading into the NCAA tournament if it gets to that point. And I say that point again, good grief. Mm-hmm. But if it gets there, I think that Arkansas has to do it in the craziest way possible to win a national championship, and that would just be another hurdle that they have to accomplish, which to me, they're going to have to do it in an unorthodox way to get over the national championship hump. And I like that. A lot of you don't, which I get, but
I know that's where I'm coming from. It's a thought in the back of all of our minds, and there's certainly no reason to believe this program can't, this coach can't, this talent can't, but I'm not going to put my mind in that mode in March.
Just yet.
Nope. In fact, I'd like to think, and I'll not be disciplined enough to do this, I'd like to think I could hold off on those thoughts till June. But I don't think that'll be possible. I've just seen so many times how, not just Arkansas, but other great teams like Tennessee and others we've seen in our league lately falter. And sometimes Ole Miss and Mississippi State, who are not the best teams all year, still win it. This sport, while being talented and being having depth and having starting pitching, yes, it's very important. Sometimes luck is maybe the more important value you've got to have in June to win this thing.
Andy does not like being number one. He hates that idea, texting on the McCarty-Daniel hotline. Luck definitely has something to do with it. No pushback from me whatsoever on that thought. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
It is Girl Scouts Day.
When is Thin Mint cookies. When you say Girl Scouts, I think cookies.
And that was what I highlighted, Thin Mints. That is my favorite. You got Samoas, Tagalongs, S'mores. I can't think of the last time that I've had
Girl Scouts. The Tagalongs are the ones filled with peanut butter, right?
Yes. Ooh. I can't think of the last time that I've had Girl Scout cookies. Now, I have friends that have daughters, nieces, granddaughters that are starting to get to the age where they're entering the Girl Scouts or they're selling the cookies. We'll be happy to buy some. I don't know what season, if that's like an all season long thing or if that's something only at certain parts of the year, but I can't remember the last time I've had
Walmart
a delicious
like
Thin Mint.
Some of those, yeah, I mean, you put those in two of those in the freezer and go to town.
Oh, that's the way to go.
Oh, absolutely. So I think Walmart has some knockoff stuff, but the Girl Scout cookies
are
not
the same.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
All right, Christian, what you got for us this morning?
All right. Bobby P.
at 11 points in the Bucks' 124-117 win over the Clippers on Sunday. He had 8 rebounds, which led the team. Patrick Beverley had 5 points, recorded 2 steals and a block.
Bucks are starting to get in a rhythm a little bit with P-Bev being traded right before the deadline to Milwaukee. I know they're excited to have him there in Wisconsin. And again, Bobby Portis, a fan favorite. We'll see if they keep it going in the NBA and the eastern side of the conference.
In the Thunder's 124-93 win over Memphis on Sunday, both Fort Smith guys got in. Isaiah Joe had 7 points. Jalen Williams had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and a block.
Yeah, Jalen, big energy guy. He came back from an injury that had hobbled him for a couple games. I was watching some of those highlights. They're OKC's head coach, and their management seems to love Jalen Williams, as we loved him here. Best smile that Arkansas seen in quite some time, and happy to see him back coming off that injury.
On Saturday, Nick Smith Jr. had 4 points, 3 assists for the Hornets in their 110-99 win over the Nets. 2 really bad teams, but it's good to see Nick Smith getting some playing time.
Yeah, whenever Nick Smith gets mentioned among Arkansas fans, there's always an opinion. More times than not, it's negative. And I just really wonder if he had been healthy last season, not just what the team would have been like and probably would have been a lot better than 8-10 in conference, but just the perspective of Nick Smith would have changed a lot, in my opinion.
All right, switching over to the baseball side of things. 2024 prospect rankings, Caden Wallace comes in at 3rd. I know he spent some time with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. It looks like he's going to get his shot.
Yeah, a lot of Arkansas guys that have been listed by, was it MLB.com?
Yes.
That had that as high prospect rankings in their franchise list. So excited to see not just the guys that are currently playing in Major League Baseball, but the ones that will at some point make the next jump to the MLB, and there's plenty of Razorbacks that can, not just in the MLB, that are about to make that jump, too.
Heston Kerstad is ranked 5th. I know I think he got a home run in his first game last year for the Orioles, so looks like he's drawing some interest as well.
Yeah, Heston, a lot of those guys, again, Kane Wallace, who you mentioned, there's plenty of them on that list that will have an impact at their franchise.
Peyton Paulette, who I know was injured most of his time at Arkansas, is 9th. Ryan Koshchew is in at 12th. Dominic Fletcher, who is no longer a Diamondback, he's on the White Sox now, 13th. Jace Borfin, 23rd. Robert Moore, 26th. And Jackson Wiggins, 26th as well.
That's a lot of them. I'm surprised you didn't mention, and I'll go and say it, Daniel Gafford's made 28 straight field goals for the Dallas Mavericks.
I had it on here. I just totally went over it.
He has been fantastic since he was also traded at the deadline. Again, that is a franchise record. I can't remember if it's an NBA record or not, but Gafford, he can't miss. 4 straight games, has made 28. Now, think about that. He has made 28 straight shots in an NBA uniform. It's one thing to do that in junior high. It's one thing to do that in high school, college. He is doing that in the highest level of basketball there is and has not missed a shot in 28 straight attempts.
Yeah, new NBA record in the play-by-play era. Most of his points are dunks and layups, but like you said, Ty, that's really impressive. He went 9-for-9 last night against the Bulls in the Mavericks 127-92 win. He had 20 points, by far his best game as a Maverick.
Yep. You think about how close in proximity Fort Smith is to Oklahoma City. El Dorado, not too far from Dallas, a lot closer to Dallas than it is Washington. So I would suspect that a few Wildcats have made the trek from El Dorado to watch Daniel play in Dallas, and deservedly so. The way he's been playing, it's worth the, I don't know if it's worth the Hagen Smith price of admission on Friday nights, Tommy, but it's, he's playing. He's playing some good ball right now.
Yeah, and it's just amazing the number of players we have to talk about in this program. He brought them all back. You could field a starting 5 and a second 5 for sure.
Yeah, and you think about, we just listed a lot of prospects baseball wise. We'll get to some more MLB stuff coming up. MLB is,
that's gonna be deep, deep list.
And there's decent number of football. By the way, Brandon Allen re-signed with the San Francisco 49ers. That's kind of the big Arkansas Pro Hawks football tidbit that we have to share from you this morning. But basketball-wise, I don't know if there'll be anyone on an NBA roster with this team that'll, again, get drafted or sign a free agent deal. But you've had plenty of guys the last 3 or 4 years that have made their way to rosters, and not just made their way, but are actually having an impact. And when you stack them up with baseball, I know football is, you have more players, so that leads to more guys being drafted. But you've got a good chunk of Arkansas basketball players, and baseball-wise, you've got some, and hopefully you'll see some in football, too, based on some combine stuff and just some expectations for where guys are going to get drafted coming up in April.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I don't expect anyone on this basketball team right now to be drafted. Maybe someone knocks around and gets on a G League team and makes their way in somehow and goes the journeyman route. Mm-hmm. But I'm like you. I mean, not at least in this next draft. Now there could be some players like a Leighton Blocker or someone that could develop into that. But right now, I don't see it.
Nope, not at this time. At this period, we'll see if it pans out like that. So that is your Lindsay and Associates Pro Hog update this morning.
All right, brought to you by Lindsay and Associates. They're celebrating their 50th year in Northwest Arkansas in the real estate business. They have 3 locations to take care of you, whether you're listing, selling, or leasing. They can handle all of your real estate needs. They have over 200 professionally trained agents. 3 great locations: Fayetteville, Rogers, and Bentonville. Lindsay and Associates, they are the winning choice. Go to Lindsay.com to search all the current real estate inventory at Lindsay and Associates. We bring great neighbors together.
Before we get to our conversation with Tom Murphy, we've got a text here on the 479 asking about J.J. Andrews, Sean's son, who's at Little Rock Christian, class of 2026, who just won his second state championship for the Warriors. J.J. is ranked by Rivals as a top 25 kid nationally. He's a lefty. He can play. Matt always talks about that Sean, as good as he was as a football player, was an outstanding basketball player. So apparently his son is elected to go that route. And
his mom was a player too, from what I understand.
Oh, she can hoop too?
She played at UALR, is my understanding. Okay. So I had the honor of officiating their championship game last week, and he's a dynamic player. Got to see him at Farmington in the state tournament. I'm not so sure. I mean, I would love to see. They don't have the overall state championship like they had long, long ago, back in the 80s. I don't know how long it went back, but they stopped that in the 90s, where you'd bring all the state champions together and they'd seed them up and they'd have a tournament to determine the overall champion. I think if you had one of those this year, Little Rock Christian would do very well and may win. That may be your best boys team in the state. I don't know. They are really good.
A little different from when I was in high school 10-plus years ago.
Yeah, they used to take – now, there was not as many classifications. There weren't 6 classifications of schools, but they take all the state champions and they play another tournament after the state championship. They quit that because you'd win the state title, then you'd go lose in the overall, and it
– diminished it?
It diminished your state championship. It diminished the joy of a state championship. I get that. I understand that. But, you know, wouldn't you like to see – Little Rock Central play Little Rock Christian and some of these, you know, some of these matchups that could happen out there. I think Christian would hold their
football
own.
Football, too. There's some football contests that I'd want to see.
I think, like, Parkview this last year would hold their own in football. But, you know, that's not going to happen. But I'm just saying that's how good J.J. Andrews' team was with all the talent that was on that roster.
Yep. All right, let's do what we do every Tuesday morning. Talk to Tom Murphy.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
Tom, just got the email from Kyle Parkinson, Associate Athletics Director at Arkansas, that Colby Smith has been officially named as the running back's head coach. There were wide reports, pretty much the speculation was not guaranteed, but there. Just kind of your thoughts on the timeline, that Jimmy Smith's departure to Fort Worth, and then the recent acquisition of Colby Smith at that same position.
Right. Well, good morning, guys. I've been watching practice from the Bev Lewis lot. Well, the pre-practice, I guess. We're about to go in there. And I have not seen that email. But, yeah, I just think it's a deal where, you know, you try, if you're Bobby Petrino, how many of your own guys, quote, do you want? Well, he's definitely got Fouch, and I think Mateos was a combined, agreed-upon deal. Morgan Turner, obviously, good credentials as a tight ends coach. But, you know, what are you going to do at running backs? How hard was TCU pursuing Jimmy Smith because he worked with Kendall Briles. So a lot of factors involved there. Colby Smith, obviously a player for Bobby Petrino at Louisville, knows him, coached with him at Western Kentucky and Louisville. So, you know, it's one of those one of my guy type situations. And I tell you, I don't know if this is going to be written about in the coming years or what, but Jimmy Smith's ability, first, he was a great recruiter, and then his ability to keep that running back room together, particularly after 21. You know, Traylon Smith did leave, but, you know, that was the year they brought back Rocket as a sophomore, A.J. Mm-hmm. Green as a sophomore, Dominic Johnson was coming off a huge year, and you know, they brought in Rashad DeBinion, and they managed to make it work. And, I mean, you think about the Texas game where, like, all those guys scored touchdowns, and the next year Rocket really blows up, and they managed to keep A.J. Green and DeBinion, you know, in the fold going into 22. And, you know, it blew up a little bit after last year when they didn't have much of a running attack. But I think Jimmy Smith's legacy here is one of a really good recruiter and a guy who brought in a big stable of running backs that, you know, able to hang on for a few years.
Tommy, you mentioned being at practice. You mentioned about to see practice coming up this morning. You had a chance to catch up with Taylon Green, and I was reading your article, and I get a sense, and you're there on a daily basis, that he hasn't necessarily locked up the quarterback one role, but he is the leader right now. Is that, from what you've gathered the last few days, are you predominantly more on that side than maybe you were prior to spring practice?
Well, you had the sense that he or Criswell might be with the ones because they're the most veteran guys. Criswell obviously got playing time here last year. But, yes, I would strongly agree with the statement that he's in the lead. There was an interesting conversation with Sam Pittman on Friday last week about the microphones or the speakers that they're going to put in the helmets, which is going to be allowed for one player on offense, one player on defense. Obviously, that's your quarterback. They haven't done that for Taylon Green yet, and it's because if we do that, we're basically saying he is the man. And this is an open quarterback competition, even though we've only seen Taylon Green with the one. You know, that's like a decisive step, and it probably will wind up in the helmet of a linebacker, almost certainly, as well. But it's a step they haven't had to take yet, and I think during the course of spring they might start experimenting with it, obviously, to get ready for next year. But, yeah, I mean, Criswell was with the threes. I think it might have been some kind of indication of what they thought of the workouts and leadership stuff all during the winter workouts. Now, Criswell did take a lot of snaps with the twos in the second workout. We didn't see Sunday, but we're about to get practice number four here in a minute, and I suspect Green will still be with the ones, and then the twos will be a really close examination here.
Yeah, and I've talked to a couple people that had eyes on practices this weekend, both of them, and the common thing that keeps coming away, there's still a lot of work to do, but they're headed in the right direction. But that's the keep hearing from people that have put eyes on it. There's still a lot of work to do, but they like the direction things are going.
And, you know, here was my take, and I wrote about it some, I think it's Saturday's paper, and it was that there seems to be a better flow to the offense. If I'm thinking back to last spring and then in camp, the amount of fastball starts we saw where running plays were pretty bottled up close to the line of scrimmage, there wasn't a lot of running room. Well, here, just the way the misdirection and the blocking schemes or what have you, there seems to be more freedom. The running backs have hit the holes and kind of had a little more downhill to them so far. And it's all just, you know, it's all just esoteric, I guess. It's just the feel of it and the look of it. And I'm not saying this because I know Bobby Petrino's had great offenses here. That's just what I've seen. And I asked Sam Pittman about it, and he said that some of that is, Bobby Petrino is a genius-type guy. He's been given that label, and he makes things work. But another thing, they've been running a lot more zone to start this camp, and I have noticed that as well. And so that gives you little pockets. And so a Bobby Petrino offense finds ways to get your tight end right in that little pocket or right in the slant, mm-hmm. over the linebackers, inside the zone coverage, and they've just been better at it. And, I mean, I'm not one to just didn't bag on Dan Enos, but Bobby Petrino's experience over the years, I just think, gives him a little more creativity and innovation in what he does offense.
Here's one. Bobby Petrino calls plays with a scalpel. You can use that line in one of your articles.
He does. He finds a way to exploit what you're doing and just get a guy in space. Yep. I mean, a lot of times it's just that simple. Where your X's line up against their O's and how you get that guy in space, and then what he does with the ball when he gets
it. Yeah. So another takeaway is everyone is expecting to go watch one of these practices and see Bobby Petrino be a madman and dropping profanities left and right. I was told by someone that was on the field firsthand, watching the practices from a distance, that he is far more reserved than people think, and he is ultra focused on the quarterbacks and what he's doing, and he is doing a lot of teaching and not a lot of screaming and yelling. So this image that a lot of people have that he's out there like a madman like 15 years ago, he's taking a much different approach, and he's a different person. Would you say that's correct from what you've seen?
Bobby Petrino is a smart guy. When he was the head coach here, yeah, and we had open practices and scrimmages and such, I heard all that, yeah. He's not the head coach now. He's the offensive coordinator, and he's learned. And I think today's modern kids, they might learn in a different way, and yelling and screaming isn't, like, a great way for a lot of them. So, yes, I have heard a lot more of a low-key Bobby Petrino. I really haven't heard his voice raised above the din of a normal practice. Now, that was indoors, and we're about to be outdoors here in a minute, and so we'll see. But and there are times I'm sure he gets on guys. I've seen him displeased, but it hasn't been to the point where he's, bombing a guy out in front of everybody. And I think that's he's matured since he was the head coach here, and B, it's a different style of player.
Tom, last thing before we let you go. There have been plenty of NFL free agency signings in the last 24 to 48 hours. Your Atlanta Falcons just dropped a lot of money on Kirk Cousins. Do you like the investment?
Well, I haven't seen the money. I got a text from somebody when I was doing something else yesterday. I hadn't seen the news, but the text was in all caps and says, "You like that?" And so I knew what that meant. And, is he an upgrade over Desmond Ridder?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is. He's a more veteran. Is he as nimble as Desmond Ridder? No. Probably more accurate. And, he's been around the game a lot longer, so it gives us a better chance to win next year. But my guess is that, the legacy of this contract is going to be at some point where, it's not going to be a great value to the Falcons. And hopefully he's a great leader. Hopefully he takes to Atlanta. The roster takes to him. The new coaching staff find a way, to make his qualities come to life. So I'll be rooting for him, obviously. But I think time has shown us a guy of his age and his background and his skill, I don't know if it's going to wind up being a great value to us.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.